From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM, emerging artists tonight for the first couple hours. Their website's linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. And later on tonight, The Harbinger. That's right. Secrets of America's future. Here's what's happening. Well, you know, for the past 10 years, we have been talking about the possibility of an asteroid hitting the planet. Well, guess what? They found one last month, and they say it could hit the Earth next year. Here we go. To avert a possible catastrophe, this time is set for February of 2013. Scientists suggest confronting what they call asteroid 2012 DA14 with either paint or big guns. The stickler is that the time has long run out to build a spaceship to get up there and carry out an operation. NASA's data shows that the 60-meter asteroid, that's about 180 feet, spotted by Spanish stargazers last month, will whistle by Earth in 11 months within 16,700 miles. They say that is too close for the margin of error. In the event of a collision, scientists have calculated that the energy released would equate to the destructive power of a thermonuclear bomb. Dr. Sky Stephen Cates with us. Stephen, this of all the years I've been broadcasting about the possibility of asteroid strikes, this one is the closest yet.
Absolutely, George, and good morning to you and all the Coast listeners. I find it a phenomenal subject to talk about because only, as you mentioned appropriately, just weeks ago in February of this year was this interloper into the early part of the solar system discovered. And the description of size ranges anywhere upwards of about 150 feet in diameter. But as you appropriately mentioned, George, this object will come within about 16,000 miles of the Earth on February the 15th of 2013. And seriously, folks, there's not much we can do because we'd at least need at least a year and a half or 2 years to build an appropriate spacecraft. But I have to laugh, George, when I heard some of NASA's ideas or some other people about paint the asteroid.
Paint it or you know, shoot a laser at it to move it.
And I think it's phenomenal that we talk about painting it because, of course, one of the great paint companies like Sherwin-Williams has always been Cover the Earth. Maybe they could get on this and simply cover the asteroid. But why would we do that?
Sponsor the asteroid, right, by Sherwin-Williams.
That would be hilarious. And then one of the great things about this asteroid that people should know is the plan would call for maybe coating half of the asteroid with white type of material like dust or paint. And why would we do that? It's simple. To the astronomy community, it's something called the Yarkovsky effect. And this is how photons, light particles, interact with, let's say, asteroidal bodies that have unstable orbits. The darker they are, a lot of these photons may be absorbed into the material of the asteroid, but by, let's say, painting it halfway or so, we might be able to have nature simply divert it. But the other theory, which I think is really not one of Dr. Sky's favorite, is blasting the object out and away from the Earth's orbit. George, can you imagine all the residual shrapnel?
Oh, my gosh. It could be
crazy.
Yeah, it could be crazy. And here's the problem, Steve. I've been talking about this now for 10 years. I've always been saying it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yes.
And I sure hope this isn't the when. A 150 to 180 foot wide asteroid, if it hits in the ocean, could create a massive tsunami.
Yes.
And you know it could also take out a small city.
Absolutely, George. And up till now, people have been concerned about the asteroid known as Toetatus or the asteroid Apophis, or if we pronounce it as Apophis, each either way. But this is something phenomenal. And, George, what's even more fascinating to the Coast listeners, I'm sure, because they're keeping their eyes to the skies, is the fact that these objects are discovered so soon.
Yes.
And we get the information. So can you imagine what still lurks out
there? Well, they tell us we've found about 90% of them, and now we're hearing this.
Absolutely.
Way too close for comfort. Look, we've got a year to talk about this. I'm wondering if the Mayans had something in mind here. What do you think?
Well, George, let's put it this way. This is going to be a spectacular year as we all focus in on what the Mayan predictions were. I imagine some great scholars are going to dig up some yet untold research about this. But here's what I pledge to the Coast audience. Of course, we'll keep everybody posted on this. And I wanted to mention in closing, as we look tonight or this morning into the skies, George, this week is great. We get to see Mercury, Venus, and the Jupiter conjunction, the nearly full moon, and Mars right now at its near opposition or just past opposition What a great night to study the sky and think and contemplate about these objects, the interlopers, as I call them, into the solar system, things that go hopefully not bump in our night, George, but it's a fascinating story. Imagine how many more objects than the untold objects to come. So we'll keep you posted.
We might as well enjoy it while we can, Stephen. Thank you so much. Dr. Sky Stevens Cates. And again, we will monitor this story for the next year as this asteroid gets close to the planet. It is supposed to get within 16,700 miles February of next year. Margin of error, it is too close to the planet. We'll watch it. The 15-month-old girl who was found alive in an Indiana field 10 miles from her home after violent storms ripped through the Midwest has died from traumatic brain injuries. Very sad story. She picked up and tossed 10 miles away. Angel Babcock of New Pekin, Indiana, was found after her family's mobile home was destroyed in the storms that ravaged the Midwest and the South over the weekend and a few days before that. She had been in critical condition at a children's hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. Her grandfather said that she had suffered head injuries and that the weekend was a critical time for her. The girl's death brings the overall toll now to the storm to 39 across five states. Now listen to this story. If you happen to comfort a pet that is dying, comforting dying pets through their last days has apparently turned out to be dangerous for some animal owners who wound up with life-threatening infections from close contact, according to a new report. A dog owner who licked honey from the dropper that she used to feed her pooch and two cat owners who cuddled and kissed their kitties for days were hospitalized with respiratory illnesses linked to common bacteria that the pets harbor in their mouths. The case studies reported in the latest issue of the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases highlight the very rare hazards of animal intimacy in a country where 9 out of 10 regard pets as members of the family. And they are, according to the study. President Barack Obama said that the United States will not hesitate to attack Iran with military force to prevent it from acquiring a nuclear weapon, but cautioned that too much loose talk of war recently has only helped Iran and driven up the price of oil. Russia's opposition has vowed to continue protests, alleging widespread irregularities after a very tearful Vladimir Putin claimed victory in an election that will see him return for a third term as president. Jerome Corsi with his Jerry. Is he going to be president for life, or he's going to just hand off to Medvedev all the time, huh?
Well, they seem to have a good tag team going. It's hard for me to see Putin and not think of the KGB.
I know, I agree.
And Putin's re-election now, I think, affirms that Russia is going to go in a more nationalistic direction, which should spell some difficulties, I think, both for Western Europe, greater pressure on Western Europe, and also in the Middle East.
A lot of people claiming that this was a fraudulent election, but he's in to stay, isn't he?
Well, he's in to stay. I think it's hard to imagine a really fair election in Russia. Increasingly, it's hard to think of Russia as not somewhat of a return of the nostalgia to the Soviet Union. And I think Putin is one of those who feel like the Cold War was never lost and continues to think it might have another chapter.
All right, Jerry. Jerry Corsi, thank you so much. Jerry writes for WorldNet Daily, by the way. Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez admitted publicly for the very first time that his cancer has returned and said he faces a new round of radiotherapy treatment after having a second malignant tumor removed in Cuba. He's 57 years old. Chavez underwent surgery in Havana last week for what he called a lesion, which was removed from the same area around the pelvis where a first tumor was extracted in June of 2011. Rock guitarist Ronnie Montrose, who performed the band that bore his name and performed with some heavy hitters, has died. He died at his home in California. He was 64. He had been in declining health for some time, battling prostate cancer, and according to his agent, demons. Somewhere in Ireland, a burglar has the heart of a saint. Officials at Christ Church Cathedral in Dublin say they're distraught and perplexed over the theft of the church's most precious relic, the preserved heart of St. Lawrence O'Toole. O'Toole was Dublin's archbishop back around the 1100s, His heart has been displayed in the cathedral ever since, in a wooden box and secured in an iron cage. Up next, Dr. John Gray joins us. Split show tonight. He's with us for 2 hours. We're going to be talking about some of the dangers of treating depression with pharmaceuticals. Dr. John Gray next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Here comes the Coast to Coast famous regular, Dr. John Gray, certified family therapist, consulting editor of the Family Journal, member of the Distinguished Advisory Board of the International Association of Marriage and Family Counselors. You know him as a noted author, Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, and Venus on Fire, Mars on Ice, and his latest work, From Boyhood to Manhood, Dr. John Gray. Hey, John, welcome back.
Thanks, George. It's a pleasure to talk with you again.
Likewise. Now, this is different, and I like it. I like it because it explains a lot of things that guys have done since youth to manhood.
Yeah, there's a crisis right now, and it's important for everybody to be aware of it. But, you know, some of the simple statistics that I start out with in the book is 90% of children with learning difficulties. You know, we hear about these special schools now, more challenges for kids and learning and so forth. 90% of children with learning difficulties are boys. Now, what's that about? Now, what's happening in high school graduates, we've got 2 girl graduates for every male graduate. And in college, they have to lower the requirements for males to get into college. And when you look at graduation from college, you've got 2 women to every man. And suddenly then in the professional world, you've got between the ages of 22 and 35, 36, when this all change started taking place last 15 years, you've got 2 women to every male. So everything is turning topsy-turvy. And, you know, there's lots of challenges that our sons are experiencing and going through. We want to get to the root of this matter to help correct the problem. But then we look at the adult males and the adult females, and George, what happens is the women are all saying, where are the men? Where are the men? Now, the men are there. It's just They don't have jobs. There's way more men unemployed than women, and women are wanting men who basically have jobs and can make at least as much money as them, but women have all those positions. So
that's a good point.
Big problem.
And you know, John, in your work, you say things that are just incredibly accurate and scary. That, you know, it is the man who primarily commits suicide. Elderly men, 1,300% more likely to commit suicide. What's going on?
And also what's going on is if you look at, it used to be with children, teenage children, boys and girls, there was equal number of suicides. Now it's 5 boys, 5 times as many boys are committing suicide. The world is basically not supporting what we might call masculinity. We have women, I mean, one way of looking at it, now it's not a simple problem, and the solution isn't simple either, but it only can start with understanding what's going on. But what's happening here is you've got basically women moving into the workplace, and when they do that, their stress levels are much higher than men's. Now, this is amazing research that's been done on thousands and thousands of people in the workplace, and they find that women in the workplace have stress levels. That's a hormone called cortisol, which will dramatically affect your mood, your energy levels, and your happiness level. If you're chronically stressed, you're going to get sick, and you're going to be unhappy, and you're not going to be as loving and happy. So women's are twice as high as men's in the workplace. And when women come home from the workplace, they're 4 times as high as the average male in the workplace. Now, what this creates is mothers who are not as happy as our mothers were. And this has a huge impact on boys. I mean, this is what people don't realize.
Huge.
It's huge. And, you know, that if we just take a step back from it, we go, okay, now if women are dissatisfied with their husbands, what message does that give to boys? It says the boys who want to make their mothers happy, you know, young boys want to make their mothers happy. Children all want to make their mothers happy, as well as make their dads happy. But they see that mom is not happy with dad. And when mom is not happy with dad, it has a huge impact on boys.
You have talked about social networking and how it affects relationships and children. Explain that, John.
Okay, so another phenomenon which is occurring. See, the world has changed right in front of us.
Overnight.
10 years.
Yeah.
And what we have here is, on one hand, we have the whole social networking thing. It's they've done the brain research on it now, and they see that when you're doing your Facebooking and when you're getting your emails and your Twitters and all that, it stimulates a brain chemical called dopamine. And dopamine is the pleasure brain chemical. When you take cocaine, for example, cocaine stimulates massive amounts of dopamine. Well, Twitter and Facebook and computer emails coming in, all these emails coming in, it's stimulating. It's stimulating this dopamine brain chemical.
It's their cocaine, isn't it? It
basically is what it is. It's an addictive. It becomes an addiction, and it's similar to pornography, which also can become an addiction. When you get energy drinks, also these are all things that produce dopamine, and video games produce dopamine. There are some young men now that will spend 6 to 10 hours on a video game in a day. I mean, these are like real addictive substances because they're producing dopamine. And, you know, parents don't know what to do about it. And we're talking about for young kids, but also for adults even. When we're talking about, you know, women with social networking and our kids with social networking, you're talking a major dopamine stimulator. It's literally like a false intimacy. You know, women really depend upon intimacy through networking, lots of friends, lots of connections. But there's an illusion that goes with it, just as one of the major dopamine stimulators for an adult male is sex. Big dopamine stimulator, but it doesn't provide true intimacy, so it also becomes addictive. And so we think these things are good for us, but in the end, they create this addictive brain, which has now been completely studied. And what we see, the problem tends to get worse unless we identify it and we can understand what's going on and what we can do to start correcting it.
John, last week we saw another tragedy in a school in Ohio. 17-year-old youth kills three people, three students, injures a number of others. You know, people say he was bullied. He apparently had problems with the law before that, put his grandfather in a chokehold and punched him. What is pushing children to do these heinous things?
Okay, well, first of all, what is not ever in the news, and there are several books that now write about this as a person whose expertise is just on what I'm about to say. But every time we see one of these children committing acts of violence, they're always they're on a psychotic drug or something, an antidepressant or some form of psychotic drug, and they've gone off of it. And this is one of the symptoms, side effects of this listed of Prozac, of SSRIs, of Xanax. The side effects of taking these drugs, and particularly of going off of them temporarily, is violence and murder and killing other people. And that's what you don't see in the news. But these cases are settled out of court. And, of course, you know, they get a payout, but they can't report it to the news. But the actual expert who, you know, cites all the cases, she wrote a book, and in that book she talks about all the different drugs these kids were on. Because when you take an antidepressant, what occurs, and just more recently we also had Whitney Houston as well with
sure.
Xanax, and you know, everybody doesn't know exactly what happened, but she died in her bathtub, and many people suspect it was suicide. There are, in the last year, 12 months, 20,000 suicides of people who were taking Xanax overdose. The problem with depression drugs, and we can look at the ADD drugs, which deal with something else, that's more for the male side of it, but more for the female side, is that when you have these high levels of stress, the female brain is different from the male brain, and they don't have an off switch to stress.
And you know, John, to me, there's two different types of suicide. One is when you clearly go out to do yourself in. And the other is when you know, because you're a smart person, you know that what you're doing could possibly kill you, but you keep doing it anyway. To me, that's suicidal too.
Wow. Well, that's another perspective on it for sure. I don't, you know, what's interesting is they always say that, I mean, another little point here is when they see that people drive their cars off of cliffs, quite often they can see they put the brakes on at the last second.
Well, let me tell you something. I'll tell you a story when we come back, John, about a woman who committed suicide in the building I'm in. In the year that I came into this building, a long time ago. I'll tell you that story, and it's exactly what you've just said. Stay with us. Dr. John Gray with us for a couple hours. We'll take phone calls next hour with him. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with our special guest, Dr. John Gray. Split show for you tonight. John, I wanted to tell you this very strange story. When I first came physically to this network in 2003 in Los Angeles, I'm up on my office, and I'm in, and it's nighttime, and I see some whoosh go by the window. I didn't think anything about it. And then about an hour or so later, I start seeing the reflection of fire department and emergency medical lights, red lights, reflecting off all the glass. So I look down, and sure enough, there's a body of a woman. She had fallen from the top of this high-rise office building we're in, changed her mind, John, in midair, grabbed the C of the building. We're in a building that has a City National Bank on the top. She grabs the C and it breaks off and comes down with her.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. So, you know, we talk about suicide. Here's a woman who jumps but changes her mind in midair.
Amazing.
Sad.
Well, it's usually desperation that people get to the point of desperation and they don't know what else to do. And the sad truth is that the drug companies know, they know completely that suicide rates go up when people take antidepressants. They know that antidepressants change the brain so that the problem the person had to start with gets worse. And there's a $15 solution, three-month supply generally, $15. I've had thousands of women and men go off of antidepressants just taking lithium orotate, the simplest little tiny pill. And it's illegal in Canada. It's illegal in Australia. It's legal in Europe. It's legal in the United States, and nobody knows about it because they've got the whole propaganda. If you say lithium, immediately doctors say that's for crazy people, that's for bipolar, that's for schizophrenia. But the truth is, it's for depression, it's for anxiety, it's for people that don't sleep well, and that if you have extreme problems, it helps that. But doctors are trained, and they're only educated to know about a form of lithium which is toxic, and not the healthy lithium, which is legal. You don't have a need a prescription. It's the simplest thing, and yet nobody knows about it. And if you talk to your doctor about it, they'll say, oh, that's dangerous, that's toxic, because lithium carbonate is toxic to the system. Doctors give it to people. It's toxic, so it helps people with bipolar and schizophrenia, but then they have all kinds of undesirable side effects. Because if you take any mineral supplement, it's all it is a mineral supplement, in toxic doses, then your body will get sick. You'll get the improvement, but then you also have the side effect. And lithium orotate, now that's a different from lithium carbonate. Lithium orotate is taken in very small doses, just what the body needs, and it carries it into the brain, and the brain starts making the brain chemicals that we're missing. And when people commit suicide or people want to give up, or people feel discouraged when their stress levels are high. George, I've seen it again and again and again. This is thousands of people I've seen who write me letters. Every week I get emails from people that say, I just took the lithium orotate and my symptoms have gone away.
Amazing.
And what I tell people is that the pharmaceutical drugs are so dangerous, you don't just stop them because they actually make the condition that you were suffering from worse than in the beginning. It doesn't get better. And so that's when you see these kids committing acts of violence and so forth. And a lot of the suicides are children that went off of or adults that went off of their antidepressants because you feel like a zombie after a while on these things. There are some people that have gotten benefits from it without a doubt. But they don't know whether you're getting benefits, it's going to get worse. And people who take them and don't get that much benefit, they can learn about lithium orotate, which is a natural mineral. And orotate, it's a delivery system. It comes from orotic acid, which is in mother's milk. They don't take it from mother's milk, but it's very high in mother's milk because the orotic acid is necessary to carry the minerals across the blood-brain barrier into the brain, where the lithium is required in order to make the brain chemical serotonin. And women tend to be more vulnerable to the depression. 4 times more women become depressed than men. And take antidepressants because a woman's brain it's different. The emotional limbic system of the brain becomes 8 times more active under stress, and the serotonin is used up to calm that part of her brain. And so if she doesn't have the lithium, she can't make the serotonin, and so her brain remains distressed. And so, you know, many neuroscientists today have seen that when a woman's brain becomes stressed, it doesn't relax. It's like it doesn't have a turn-off switch, and serotonin is that turn-off switch that could help her. But, you know, the medical community keeps it a secret. They don't want anybody to know that, that, you know, one of the most expensive, most lucrative drugs are these antidepressants, and lithium orotate is the cheapest supplement you could find in a health food store.
Jeez.
And because nobody knows about it, it's not in health food stores. You have to find it online, you know.
And look for it. And here's some of the highlights from John Gray's book, From Boyhood to Manhood. Listen to these statistics. 8 out of 10 children with ADHD are boys. 2 women to every 1 man graduate from high school. 2 women to every man graduate from college. The number of people getting married dramatically dropping in Europe and America. Why for all this? What's happening?
Well, it was amazing. I was just in Norway and Sweden and did a debate with their foreign minister, which is like their secretary of state, on TV to 3 million people, and the head of their liberal party there. And I basically, it was so spirited debate. I'll tell you, I said, you don't believe that men and women are different at all? And they said, absolutely not. She said there's only a few little differences when they're children, and there are no differences. So they expect women to behave like men in the workplace, and they expect men to behave like women at home. And so people are not getting married. Young people go, why get married? Because when you feminize men, when you expect men to be like your girlfriend, what happens is you lose the attraction of male to female. And when women become too like men, they become strident, they become opinionated, they become demanding, they have a sense of urgency about them, like everything has to be done now. And this is really, it's the opposite of what creates a loving, nurturing relationship. So people there, the younger generation doesn't even plan on getting married. It's shocking.
They don't want to, do they?
No, and their experience is they like each other. They date for 2 or 3 years, and then the passion goes away. The attraction's just gone. Suddenly you find that you're attracted to somebody else. They're not able to sustain that harmonious feeling in the relationship. And this is because these Scandinavian countries, for example, they're more gender equal, meaning that they say, okay, everybody deserves equal respect, which, you know, I'm right there with them. Of course, we want equal respect, equal opportunity. But to achieve that, they're the most gender-blind society I've ever experienced. And I've taught around the world. You have gender blindness completely in these countries, and it's destroying relationships, and divorce as well is very high there as it is here.
What is going on? Why are so many people depressed these days? Is it because of the economy? What's happening, John?
Well, the economy certainly has a huge impact on the male depression. The female depression is certainly affected by that, but you know, when you look at the women, they're going, where are the men? Where are the men? If they're out of work, see, a woman could be out of work and it doesn't cause a man to become depressed. You know, he's going to work harder and try to help her and so forth. But when a man's out of work, women become very, very dissatisfied, and they reject and they expect more. And it's a very challenging aspect. But, you know, being on your show, I'll just take a step forward here and mention that, and I don't normally talk about it this way, but if we look at this whole movement that started in the 60s, the feminist movement of women going into the workplace, and, you know, the Ms. magazine and the main people in the feminist movement, they were all funded by the CIA. And this is not, you know, this is in Gloria Steinem's autobiography. The CIA came to her and funded her magazine, the whole feminist movement, and it was to get both men and women into the workplace. You know,
why would the CIA do that?
Well, Rockefeller in one interview basically said we realized we could have twice as many taxpayers. I mean,
I guess that's smart, huh?
Well, you know, just to map this out, what's happened to our economy. You know, when I was a child growing up, my dad could go out and have a job and make enough money, like most men at those, you know, a large percent of men could go to a job, 9-to-5 job, make enough money to support their wives raising their children.
Or, if not make enough money, at least people didn't have this obsession with buying two of everything.
That as well. You know, we had a humble house, but But my mother was very happy raising her kids. And then when the kids grew up, she went out and created her own job and so forth. But most of the time, she could be there with her family. That was a choice she could make for women that want to be there with their children. That's not a choice for most women today.
They have to work.
They have to work. And what happens is when women feel they have to do something, has a different effect on their stress levels than men. You know, if there's a fire and we have to get up and put out the fire, actually that will lower a man's stress levels. But if he feels confident he can do it, you know, like I'm accomplishing something. And for a woman, when she does something she has to do, she doesn't, you know, want to do it, whatever, her stress levels are much higher than a man's in that situation. So, you know, women traditionally have had jobs that were more nurturing, more rhythmic, more secure. You know, they weren't filled with risk and uncertainty. So I wrote this book, you know, Venus on Fire. I did the show before talking about how men and women's hormones are different, but that helps to explain it. There's a hormone called oxytocin, and that hormone oxytocin is what lowers stress in women. And it's produced when you're in a situation that doesn't require risk or urgency or sacrifice or pressure. So when women are in situations of risk, urgency, sacrifice, and pressure, what happens is the hormone testosterone gets released, and that's good for men, but not so good for women. It actually inhibits the production of oxytocin in women. So we have is a lot of women that are very low in their hormones. You know, we were just hearing one of your news things, which is that they're finding out that when girls go through puberty, hormones get produced, and that has to do with obesity. Well, right. Translate that into simple logic. What happens is when she starts having her period, she's now cycling the hormones estrogen and progesterone. Estrogen is actually fat-storing hormone. Progesterone is fat-burning hormone. And what happens is if you're stressed because you have urgency and emergency in your life, the stress hormone converts progesterone, the fat-burning hormone, into cortisol, which allows you to run away from a bear faster. But now you have what's called estrogen dominance, too much estrogen, not enough progesterone, and you start storing weight.
How do you know how much is too much, John? I mean, do you have to get blood tests? What do people do?
Well, as far as our conversation goes, it's that, you know, people go, oh, should I test my hormones? I say not necessary, because what are you going to do? Go test your hormones, find you're low in progesterone, then your doctor is going to say take progesterone. It's the worst thing you can do. Men find out their testosterone levels are low. Go and take testosterone? No way. These things cause cancer. These things cause all kinds of problems. If you take hormones, what you want to do, there's lots of scientific research that just shows us the symptoms of hormonal imbalance. But the way you find, the way you create the balance is understand how we went out of balance.
Well, that's right. I mean, can't the body correct it itself?
It does. That's my whole message, is helping people be aware of the problem and how to correct it. For example, so many men, as they get older, they have low testosterone. And the average 40-year-old man today has the testosterone levels of a 70-year-old man.
Whoa.
Just 30 years ago. So this is a transition in 30 years.
All because of environment and lifestyle?
Those two things. The environment is the estrogens that are in the chemicals in our environment. You know, when they put hormones in the meat and in the chicken,
okay.
That estrogen will lower your testosterone. That's one. That's the environmental factor. But then there's also lifestyle factor, which is if you're a guy and you come home and your wife is like nagging you and wants you to do different things and you don't get sort of time to relax and rest and forget the problems of your day, men are designed to literally turn off their brain. We can do it. You know, meditation does it, watching the news does it, doing some exercise does it, having a hobby does it, listening to your show does it. It allows you to forget your real life problems. If a man has time to relax and forget his world, you know, the responsibilities of his life, they've proven that that's what rebuilds testosterone levels.
Well, what about the woman who comes home and gets nagged by her husband?
Well, that's not as common. You know, I mean, it does happen, but
it
really
happens.
What's going on is the guys are kind of like, hey, honey, relax. And she can't relax. She's the one who's running around, you know, she's, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. And women, it turns out, see, they don't have this ability to just turn off the stress in their brain. Men do. All you have to do is distract your attention from your problems to other things that are interesting to you.
Until they think of the problem again.
Until they think of the problem. So for men, it's about learning to forget the serious problems so you can go back and fight the battle again the next day. So for women, they're not designed to turn off. their brain stays active even when they're sleeping, and their stress levels remain high unless they produce a lot of oxytocin and serotonin. And if they produce the serotonin, their oxytocin levels start to increase. And the oxytocin is what lowers her stress. So if a woman has, if she doesn't feel she's in a hurry, then oxytocin levels can start to increase. If a woman eats a high carbohydrate diet, which is one of the symptoms of low serotonin.
That's not good, is it?
That's right. It's sugar cravings. She'll have sugar cravings. And every time she has sugar craving, she gets a little burst of serotonin, and then it crashes down again. So what happens is she keeps having these symptoms of higher and higher stress. She keeps craving more and more carbohydrates, which gives her temporary relief, but it doesn't actually balance her blood sugar. It doesn't balance her hormones. It doesn't increase the serotonin. When we go back to the serotonin, one of the key things there is to know that every time you eat sugar or potato chips, white bread, or even enriched breads, all those things have the effect of increasing your blood sugar. When your blood sugar increases, it depletes your brain of lithium. So anybody who has sugar cravings needs to supplement with lithium orotate.
If you have a high glucose level, that happens then, right?
If you have a high glucose level, then you always need to be supplementing with lithium orotate. Now, another thing, with high glucose levels, this is something very interesting.
You told me once to take PGX. Oh. You're still a proponent of that?
Yes, completely. Okay. PGX is fantastic. Now, another thing, you take the PGX before meals, and it will start lowering your blood sugar, which is critical to long life and health. What also happens is more and more research is coming out about the benefits of coffee. And, you know, it particularly for men. But what they're finding is men who drink 4 cups of coffee a day have a dramatically lower incidence of Parkinson's, have dramatically lower incidence of heart disease, dramatically lower incidence of cancer.
Really?
Yeah. This is like
it
amazing,
caffeinated or decaf? Does it matter?
Caffeinated.
Caffeinated.
Now, I was against that in the beginning, 15 years ago.
I'd be bouncing off the walls with cups of coffee.
You don't drink coffee. If you do 1 cup for several years, then you can move on to 2. And then 2 doesn't do much, and you move on to 3. I'm really at the place where I do 1 cup of coffee a couple of days, and I go off for a couple of days.
And you feel a difference?
Oh, it's huge. What it does is the research has shown. Now, so I wanted to figure out, okay, what is it? Because I was, like, against coffee for a long time. I'm kind of a purist in many ways. But then when the research was real. So then I found out that coffee helps to balance your blood sugar. So just keep that in mind. This is an amazing thing, which is coffee has proven to increase dopamine, which males tend to need more dopamine, and it's actually a mild version of Ritalin, but not dangerous.
I do take green coffee extract.
Oh, you're doing that?
Yeah. Is that good?
Oh, that's great. That's another great one for balancing your blood sugar. You're probably doing, the combination that also has some kelp in it, I bet.
That's right.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know the guys that invented that. That's a super product to take before meals.
It says it lowers your blood glucose level by 20-25%.
That's right. Are you testing yours in the morning?
Yeah, I do.
What is yours?
I do. It was 120. It's down to about 100 now.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, according to medical people, that's the top end of healthy. But according to the people that make that pill, it should be at 85.
That's right.
Mine's at 85, and I'm really happy about that.
Good for you. John, we're going to take this break in a moment. We're going to come back. Our special guest, Dr. John Gray, his website, marsvenus.com. We're talking about his new work, From Boyhood to Manhood. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll give you an opportunity to chat with him about what we're talking about tonight. Incredible statistics. As a matter of fact, did you know that in 1920, American males lived 1 year less than females? Today, it's 5 years less. Guys, you got to change the way you live to be more, I guess, successful in life and live longer.